This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard.
Welcome back to this month's Cosmic Eye Monthly Forecast for Virgo season 2022. I'm your host, Vanessa Montgomery from Astro All Stars. And this month, to bring in the Virgo, is Virgo Sun and Mars conjunction, Hilary Spiteri of Aquafortis Astrology, ACQU, by the way, .com. But first of all, we'll dive into Virgo's basic stats. So it is a mutable interpersonal earth sign, mutable being the end of a season. And in the northern, of course, that is the end of summer. Sorry, guys. In the southern, that's the end of winter. So we are celebrating Virgo season here. So it's ruled by Mercury. It's a very detail-oriented sign. Some would say perfection-oriented, extremely practical with the earth, and of course, mutable. It's all about change and changeability and going into change and adapt, but for a practical outcome, for a refinement, which squares all my Sag. So I really appreciate my Virgo friends and particularly my colleagues. I think about the pearl. It seems to be coming back in fashion for the boys, actually. I've seen all these blokes with their pearls on, and I think it's interesting because the pearl, of course, is the, well, stone, precious. It's not a stone, but kind of for Virgo. And I've seen my classic sign will be Baz Luhrmann, and he's been rocking around promoting his latest movie, Elvis, decked out in pearls, getting a little bit of grief for it. But I looked into it and it's all happening. So have a look. It's gorgeous. I'm going to switch over to Hilary. Can you give us some insights into the magical, mystical, and very private sign of Virgo?
All right. Beside being nervous.
Virgo is a warrior, as Aries is a warrior.
Yeah, probably because there is this, it's ruled by Mercury, so there is always this inner flux because it's an earth sign, it's a nocturnal sign of Mercury. So you won't see them like the Geminis going up and down the pole and moving all about. Usually the reflection, the moving about, the shuttling about of Mercury is done in the inside. And that's why the worrying, obviously, because you're trying to foresee every single thing that might happen or go wrong. Usually what goes wrong, you never see what goes right, what might go right. You know, there's something like Virgo don't rely on luck in a way. That's why they worry. That's when it becomes extreme. There is even as well, because it's a nocturnal sign, it is intuitive. It takes time sometimes to respond to things and doesn't like to be perturbated. You know, please let me take my time. I ponder on it. Probably I'll take ages pondering on it, but then I'll do something about it. Obviously, there's the curiosity, because that comes with Mercury. There's cleverness, trickiness, the ability with hands, and the ability to learn skills, because we're talking about earth applied. It's the information, is the earth used to do something useful. Virgo looks at Gemini and say, okay, fine, you brought me all this stuff, all this information. Now what? What am I going to do about it? It's the what I'm going to do about it that it's a practical part. Do you agree?
I mean, yeah, totally. You're bringing in the traditional astrology, and I think that's where it can be a useful backup to, say, people like me that really focus on the modern astrology. And I don't get a lot into day and night charts and things like that, but it is interesting what you said about it's the night ruler, just meaning it's like a more internalized Mercury. And that makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. You just put a Gemini and a Virgo together, Sun and Gemini, and I don't like using a Gemini and a Virgo, but the Sun and Gemini and the Sun and Virgo. And you see the difference. You find Virgo more, as you said, initially private. They're social in a way, yes, okay, when it's useful, when they have their own connections because they need stuff from other people and they're ready to learn even other things. But then it's full stop. Then where it stops. You need social life because you can't live without it. Not really.
Is this a different way? I see I've got Hillary's notes here, which is, I love this. And you've also written something that's, I think, a real main point is the discrimination, the ability to discriminate. Yeah. And of course, each sign, I like to just think of whatever their qualities are or their urge is, it's absolutely relentless. So people with that strong Virgo, these are things that are relentless in that sign. And it's, you use it for, to support you, or it can be your personal pitfall. So I think discrimination is, it's just so key, and ruling the intestines, like discriminating, like what out of, like what's useful and what's not. It's a practical discrimination. And I think that's a real positive. That can also be a pitfall. It's just having that awareness. How am I using that? I have this urge to do this. I need to place that where it's going to benefit me and others rather than work against me, because it's relentless. The mutability of mutable signs.
Yeah, that's
what relentless I'm urge to change something and see how they can adapt.
We didn't talk about the mutable part. When we say mutable, it means that the energy, the inward going earth energy ruled by Mercury, moves in time in an ever changing way. That's when we say the modes are, right? So mutably brings with it, obviously, the restlessness. So this is a combination with Mercury, and that's why Mercury rules such houses as well. But it also harmonizes things. You know, when you have a mutable sign, when you have a mutable energy that keeps on moving from this side and that, what's on one side will finish on the other side, and what was on the other side will finish on the other side, you know, from A to B to B to A and C, D, and whatever. So at the end, you will have a harmonizing process. There's no division in a mutable sign. Mm. And that is why we find it at the end of the season, because you need reshuffling of the energy.
That's true. That's a good way to look at it. I love the seasonal analogies and approach. Well, you pack away your winter gear and you get out your spring gear and you spring clean if you're in the southern. So that works here.
I mean, you know, you would be stupid if you keep on repeating the same mistake. At least change the mistake.
Try a new approach to failing or succeeding. And that brings us to the Virgo sense of humor. The Virgo wit, it's ruled by Mercury. It's very witty, witty and wry. Hillary, you exemplify the Virgo sense of humor, which is great. It's a little sarcastic. It's very sharp.
But it's dry.
It's very dry, isn't it? It's very dry. And maybe not always appreciated for the humor that they have, which is actually quite a lot.
Yeah.
It can be subtle as well.
Sometimes, yes. I have people never laughing at my jokes. You know.
Virgo life. Earth sign life. But yeah, maybe they're subtle, you know, and they're sneaky, and they put some little funny things in there, and sometimes people miss them and because they don't quite know how to pick up on that.
Most of the time they miss mine. Dryness in itself, right? Dryness in itself brings division. So the sense of humor, when we're saying it's a dry sense of humor, you're making stark the reality. You're taking off this all the subtleness, and you're just simply, you know, doing it ta-ta.
That's just, sharp. And I guess in traditional astrology, this would be a dry earth.
Yeah, dry. Yeah, dry.
So, earth. Of course, the people exhibit a dry sense of humor.
Yeah.
So, of course, Virgo is so interested in health, never to be underestimated. The Virgo's interest in health, whether it's, you know, modern medical or natural, you know, often very gifted with understanding herbs and natural ways of approaching things, quite a green thumb. So you've got a few bits here on Virgo and the body. And of course, you specialize in medical astrology, which is super classic Virgo, which I love it. So tell me a bit about that Virgo type in body.
Okay, so let's start with Mercury, right? So Mercury as a body part, or Mercury as a planet, rules the body parts that are nerves, because shuffling information left, right, and center. The hands that help us move about and grasp things and put things there. Fingers, right, the dexterity. Arms, which is, you can have the fingers and the hand. If you don't have an arm, Well, you're not going to do much. Speech. That's the other part of the body that moves left, right, and center, the tongue, and sense of hearing, because that's as well, receiving information, anything that you receive information. So Virgo, as a sign, rules the part of the body that is exactly under, let's say, a little bit under the sternum, where the main rib cage, the part, and sort of the belly button, just to give an idea. It's rough, the division. So we're talking about the organs there. We're saying pancreas, liver, the upper intestinal organs, the appendix, the ascending colon, abdominal cavity, all of it, the bile duct and the diaphragm, because it's the one that divides. Now, and the solar plexus. I remember it was Bernadette Brady, another Virgo, if I recollect. She once said, yes, Virgos are said to be in their head, but they're the first people that when they enter in a room, they sense the mood of the room through their solar plexus part. And I said, yes, that's quite true, because sometimes before I register, or Virgos, before they register mentally, before Mercury registers it, the part of our solar plexus already has scanned the area and they say, okay, I like that guy. I don't like that. I prefer that corner. There's too much draft there.
Too
Lighten, calm
much
down.
draft. Right, that's interesting.
Are the first that's going to have a stomach ache, diarrhea, they feed from there.
Yeah, I've seen that so many times. And in consultation, if a Virgo comes along, just beeline straight to that and talk about worry, check in on their health, if they're handling things with their nervous system and the worry and their digestion. And every Virgo will relate to that.
Then it would go sort of, there's a nervousness in the body, right? Because it's Mercury ruled. So when you see a Virgo, take this as a general part, a person with a very strong Virgo, you will see them medium stature, but there is something that goes towards upwards in certain parts of the ones that they are more Mercury, that have taken from the Mercury part, there is this airiness about them. Then there is the Virgo type that is more earth type, and they come in the room wearing very practical clothes, as if they came out from the mechanic or the gardener or whatever, wearing practical clothes, but they're always tidy.
I definitely recognize the word I would use as utilitarian. When I did a talk on Neptune through the signs, when it was in Virgo, you had World War II was on, and at least in the US, women went and picked up the jobs that had been left by the guys that went off to fight. So that was the Rosie the Riveter, and women literally went out into the workplace and they were wearing the big boots and the overalls, and it was just so fabulous. And on the other side of it, Hollywood was that beautiful streamlined black and white, no prints. So you got that both side. It was one of the most stylish times, I would say, actually. In fashion, at least through Hollywood, was Neptune in Virgo, which I wouldn't have thought that. And it was really great to see because I was more on the utilitarian side of it. But it makes sense. And Virgos will often, the very stylish ones, I'll notice it's very simple, love black, love white, actually quite a bold look and really very streamlined, no frills. Pitfalls of Virgo slash Virgo season. And I will open by saying, and isn't everyone a critic? The critical side of Virgo, which can be great, perfect job as a professional critic, film critic, art critic, book critic.
Grammar critic.
Absolutely. Major pitfall is worrying, like worrying about things that you can't do anything about. So, what can I do about it? And then you've got to let go and let goddess, right? What can I do? The practical Virgo, come in, assess, make a plan, take the steps, or leave it.
Worthwhile mentioning that Sun and Virgo, or people that have a lot of Virgo, the diseases that are actually prone to are, if you look at them, there are worry, they're with the stress and worry. and anything that goes with digestion. We mentioned it before. Intestines, diverticulitis, Crohn's disease, anything that has to do even with the immune system, with the intestines. Usually it's that. Diabetes, that's a huge one. Anxiety and insomnia. Those are a reflection. Where are the pitfalls? Because usually diseases form where the weak point is of the body.
It's the canary in the cage.
It's a canary in the cage, exactly. So I would say for the season, review your diet.
Things to do in the season to offset the pitfalls. Review your diet, yes.
And is it gentle on your intestines? Is it helping you digest better? Are you digesting life? And so are you digesting food?
Yes. And look at the correlation between mind and body.
Exactly. You always have to with Virgo. Are you overwhelmed? So perhaps, you know, eating should be a little bit easier.
And you've written sleep hygiene.
Yeah, because as an energy of the sign, Virgo doesn't need much sleep, but it has to be good. Usually they tend to sleep a little bit less than what is called the norm. Then there is no norm about sleeping. So I would look at anything that would help, like herbs or techniques. Earthing. That would be very good.
Yeah, get into nature.
Cleansing of the liver is classical at this time. As soon as the sun enters in Virgo, you start doing the liver cleanse.
Yep, spring clean your liver, detoxify. Yeah.
I would say organize your workflow, which would diminish the anxiety.
Eliminating anxiety, that's a good way to look at things. A, what's causing me anxiety if I have it? What can I do? Practical.
Another thing that can be helpful to take off the anxiety, for example, is learning a new skill, because it's so new and you're so absorbed in the moment of learning it.
I'm going to buy a filing cabinet. It's been on my list for a while, so I can be more organized, but I need the cabinet to put things in.
And then you have to think how you're going to organize them. Virgo's mutable. Why not use that as an advantage?
Let's head into classic signs. So your teacher, actually, in medical astrology was a Virgo, right?
So Lee Lehman, she has a sun, Mercury, moon, and Virgo. She was part of the team of the horary I did at the School of Traditional Astrology. And there I even did the first part of the medical course, where it was only Lee that teached it. But I enjoyed every single one of it, because we finished, Lee and I, pairing like ping pong. She had the dry sense of humor. I could see in her my dry sense of humor, and I was the only one laughing at her jokes, and no one else was laughing. So
you could see each other. You could understand.
Yes, we could see each other, and her way of teaching is very dry. That means is, she says her second life was a statistician. If you read her nine books, you see that she puts in her argument through, okay, so we have sun in Virgo, and we have seen that 8 out of 10 have this, 6 out of 10 have the other. And I said, okay, there is no poetry if you don't look at poetry as numbers, because there's poetry in number and you can see it. The rest of the world can't. The title is The Martial Art, The Martial Art of Horary. She's a martial art master. You can really see the Mercury there at the service of the sun.
So I'm going to go into my classic sign, which is film director and writer and man about the Gold Coast and the world, Baz Luhrmann, who I've mentioned before, but I'm bringing him in because he has the Virgo sun, Pluto and Uranus, not in aspect of each other, in Virgo. And I recognize in his editing, which is a key word and principle of Virgo, how he produces his films. Really, he's known for his editing and the fast pace that it moves along, which I think is quite mercurial, that pace. And he's got a few interesting quotes. One is, all the films I make are about 60% of what I imagined. So there's that, of course, he's going to have a very clear idea. What I've seen about Virgos is they have a very clear idea about what they want. And I notice it because I don't, but they have this, I usually have this vague grand vision with no idea how to get there. So I just start meandering and things seem to align. But the Virgos I've dealt with have a very clear sense of what they want. They've got this step by step because they've thought about it. They've taken the time to work it out. So you can imagine that, you know, hitting that point of perfection is all near impossible. So he's got to work out how to deal with that and still make something and put it out into the world. He just says he edits by really looking at what is contributing to the story, or if it's for something else, you could say, what is contributing to where I want to go with this? And you've got to let the rest go. And he said, it's never got everything in it that I want to have in it. It's never exactly how I see it, but that's my navigation tool. So I thought that was useful. And then this is a little bit more of a longer quote. It illustrates something that maybe people don't think of when they think of Virgo so much. And it's really about that polarity with Pisces. So something to consider on the full moon that's coming up. Is all that control, you have to let go of control to balance in the polarity. So he says things like, first of all, with the, I could say OCD, but just being very specific, he says, at the right hand is a toothbrush, this is when he goes into the bathroom, and then it goes to the next thing, the mouthwash, the left hand goes to the brush, and everything is numbered, and there are lots of stickies. I don't want to sound too dramatic, but if I go in and I can't find the clipper or razor or whatever, I start to go, oh, we're doomed. Everything's falling apart. There's no way anything can work. Let's just stop now. Because you might have some solution or some little imaginative risk in the palm of your hand, and suddenly you're broken from your little dream or reverie. And I thought that was interesting. He's talking about the container of that Pisces creativity and controlling that chaos. So he says the thing is that creativity, real creativity, is by its very nature chaotic. Think about how the universe is created. It's a whole lot of energy smashing against itself and stuff comes out. Now, managing all that energy or even creating a process to have a creative vision moment, that's where you have to be the opposite. You have to employ process and method and systems. And that's that Virgo. You could slip into Capricorn with that too, the container. And I find it so valuable to look at quotes and interviews about process and how people work that have achieved great things, because you have to have it together to get to that level. This is the other part that I thought was interesting that people don't really think about Virgo. He says, when I go to a restaurant to let loose, the number one thing I say is, don't ask me what I want to eat. Don't hand me a menu. I'm a director. My idea of a good time is not making a decision. When I'm not doing what I do, I am completely out of control. I'm a completely out of control idiot. No one wants to see the person who's flying the airplane act like I do on their day off. Usually I go into a sort of fuzzy headspace and I let everything go. And then suddenly I wake up in Cairo, which actually happened once. I was in Paris and I might have had a couple of sherries at the Ritz. And well, the next thing I know, I'm in Cairo. And that's not the first time that's happened. So I think you can really see that strong polarity with Pisces. And that's what I've seen. The more tighter grip of Virgo has on things, either by nature or they have to because it's their job, the more loose they're just really, yeah, pretty loose. So because everything's about balance. So knowing that about oneself or one's Virgo friends, you can sort of understand it and maybe help facilitate that in a safe way. Put a tracker in their bag, perhaps. So I thought that was really interesting. And it's not something I probably would have really understood had I not gotten up so close and personal with a few Virgos.
It's difficult.
Let go and let chaos.
Yes.
So yes, our next segment is monthly moons. New moon on August 27th. Eastern Daylight Time is at 4 Virgo. It will square Mars, which will be at 4 Gemini. The ruler Mercury is in Libra, trine Mars and Pluto. So it's an extra positive. So new moon in Virgo, 4 degrees. And it's square Mars in Gemini.
That's the last aspect the moon does before being devoured by the sun. Mm. And so usually when there is an occultation of a planet and the dark moon is the occultation of the moon, we're hiding something. So I think this could be we're hiding something that didn't sit quite right with us. And it's a war with words, Mars and Gemini. So it's how I'm going to, in a way, put it all together. Because then, exactly after the exact conjunction of the moon with the sun, then the next aspect is a trine with the north node in Taurus, the moon with the north node, and sextile to the south node. So what has started the tension, the word tension, or the thought, the tension in thoughts, or there's a cutting off that brings a shift of movement of something coming in, but even something going out. And then there is the aspect, a trine, which retrograde Uranus in Taurus. So, okay, we're even moving to something more chaotic.
Because it's
So
retrograde
it's retrograde, it's Uranus.
and
You
it's
can't,
Uranus.
anything you can be sure about Uranus, the Lord of Chaos. And you're with mutable signs. So this is, and
And
then you
then
have the opposition with Neptune Pisces. That is, yes, the liquefier. There's going to be a sort of an agitation in this, as how I'm seeing it in this new moon, a restlessness and a pungent restlessness. And that's going then with a trine in Pluto, it's going to bring even more intensity to it. So this is a liquidizer at the nth power. I wrote in the notes something belligerent is brewing that will come out abruptly.
like passing a gallstone. I like what you've written here. The cause will be shrouded in illusion, and that makes it easy for manipulation to take place.
Exactly, yes. There's more intensity than usual to this dark moon, the new moon.
And you've got keywords: strife, combat,
Yeah.
separation, constriction, hindrance of
And
movement,
hindrance of
and
movement.
conflict, which is Mars square.
Yes. So
Yeah,
it's double the
totally.
meaning. You know, we have already the aspect saying that, and the lunar mention giving further testimony to that.
So get
That's
ready
wonderful.
to rumble with your words. Twitter
Oh,
storm. I feel
yes.
a Twitter storm brewing. Let's go to the full moon in Pisces. It's at 17 Pisces on September 10 Eastern Daylight Time at 5:59 a.m. So new moon was 4:17 a.m. So 5:59 a.m. It's conjunct Neptune in Pisces, so rulership. It is trine the south node and sextile the north node. So it's got a nice easy flow there. So I'm thinking that will be, apart from other aspects at the time, but to the moon itself, very magical, very could be illusory, but it could be a beautiful illusion, you know, just to embrace that, embrace fantasy, see a movie, be by the water, invite a romance, come up with creative, perhaps ideas for something, like just really open your mind, no limit, don't try to Virgo it too much. And then you might be able to bring in the polarity as well with Sun in Virgo.
I think it's going to come very natural because this time there is a conjunction with Neptune. So in the first moon, the lunation we had, it wasn't a conjunction, it was an opposition, right? So we have the same aspects in a different manner because the last best aspect again is squaring Mars in Gemini that now is in his shadow phase. So we've introduced a new element to this one we hadn't before.
Also at sextile Uranus, forgot to mention,
Yes, and the
at 18
sextile,
retrograde.
yeah, the same aspects we had in the first moon and the new moon, we're having them, but in a different way. So we're seeing again, obviously, with a full moon, but from a different angle completely. So it's going to be natural, the thing of, okay, I was hyper at the time. Now, basically, probably I'm exhausted. Neptune will do the thing. It'll bring the sedative.
She's very Pisces. I think the sextile to Uranus, actually, that whole aspect set is forms a mystic rectangle, which goes well with Neptune and Pisces, getting a bit mystic, get your modern mystic on. And the Uranus in very practical Taurus, even though it's retrograde, I'm thinking it's adding a bit of practicality to the daydream. And opposite the sun, bringing that Virgo in, there's a practicality to the daydream or to the vision. It looks like it'll be a beautiful full moon, actually, and extra sort of coming at you from left of field, but in a positive way with Uranus retrograde. Times like this, depending where it hits in your chart, it might be more or might be less. Just take note of ideas and visions or your dreams, because they might just evaporate, with time or consciousness or when you wake up, and they could be really quite inspired.
The lunar mention at the 28th, it's the Bantal Hood, the belly of the fish. And it's interesting because it links to what you were saying, the mystic triangle, that's what you said, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And it's the images of a big fish. And there is the realization of potentials, cohesion and gathering together, culmination, attainment, joy, harvesting. So, yes, it is a bottleneck. You have to try to get the big fish. If you don't try, you won't get anything. We're starting a new cycle in a way.
So catch the big fish, catch the whale. It's funny, in cryptocurrency, people are called whales that put a lot of money in or take a lot of money out, like a really a lot. And it's like they have alerts called the whale alert.
Oh, right. I didn't know about that one.
So, yeah, somewhere in your life, are you ready to be the whale? This month's nonprofit, and this was suggested by Hillary. It's called the Internet Archive. You can find it at archive.org. It's a nonprofit library of millions of free books, movies, software, music, websites, and more. Very valuable resource for researching. And they're archiving currently Ukrainian books, they do movies. Hillary said, you can listen to music that was recorded from gramophone records. And you can hear all the little scratches. And I've used this resource before. I didn't know that actually it was a nonprofit and you can donate to them to do what they do, but they're preserving, it's basically a digital library, archive.org. Go check them out. Definitely
Yeah.
use them if you're researching or looking for things, and perhaps consider contributing to keep them going. We're through to the headline key signatures for Virgo season. I'm going to run through the ingresses. So, of course, it starts when the sun enters Virgo on August 22. Uranus promptly retrogrades on August 24 at 18 degrees. Mercury enters Libra on August 25. Then August 27, we have the new moon in Virgo, 4 degrees. First quarter moon, September 3 at 11 Sagittarius. And on the 4th, Mars goes into pre-shade because it's going to retrograde back through Gemini. So it goes in at 8 degrees of Gemini. September 5, Venus enters Virgo. September 9, Mercury begins to retrograde at 8 Libra. September 10, we have the full moon in Pisces at 17 degrees. September 17, we have the last quarter moon at 24 Gemini. September 22, the sun enters Libra. And that's where we see for next season's cosmic eye. Just after that, into Libra season, September 23, the next day, Mercury retrogrades back into Virgo, just to kind of loop back and bring more Virgo vibes into the next season. Mercury will be in Libra for peace and harmony and chilling out, perhaps chilling out on communications and finding a fair way forward. And I think that it retrograding is going to be quite useful considering the times and inflamed discourse to rethink the way we do that. And I think it goes quite nicely with the Mars also in retrograde, with the ruler
Yeah.
being Mercury. We do really have to rethink how we deal with things. And online, it's still new for a lot of people, or newish. It's not something we're taught in school, or maybe people are now, I'm not sure, but a lot of us were not, and not handling it perhaps very well. So I think these two transits hand in hand could be super useful just to sort of review and reflect and look at different ways of approaching communication and staying cool, because they're in air signs. And fair with Libra, look at the other person's point of view. Where are they coming from? You don't actually have to, you can agree to disagree. Libra loves to agree to disagree, doesn't have to agree with everything. It'll just say, yes, I hear you. Not yes, you're correct or I'm correct. It's just yes, in brackets, I heard you. And then it goes back into Virgos.
I think there's going to be some friction in all of that with Venus entering in Virgo, because that's going to, you know, you're talking to people, you're listening to them, but then you can't simply not look at the black spot on the forehead or something not placed right in the room. So there's going to be an interplay between the two signs, right? So you're going to have Mercury in Libra in the sign of Venus and Venus in the sign of Mercury. They're swapping a little bit the parts, which might not always be ideal.
And I guess the aspects between them. But I think they could work together. I'm not saying it'll be easy.
No, because you're going to see things that you usually don't see from that angle. There are two signs that they're in aversion. So they don't see it. They're going to work everybody on their own agenda. But then if we're intelligent enough, we can then put together the images and say, oh, right, this is, becomes a hologram.
I like that take on it. Yeah, I like to think that about, you know, listening to different astrologers as well on the same sort of point, if their charts are very different also, and sometimes from slightly different disciplines, because it's just helping you put together the whole picture or a larger picture than you would never really think of or see. It can be super useful. But yeah, you can't get on your wagon and say my way, not your way. It's actually, there's both points of view are quite valid. So it's really taking that step to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's worth mentioning that at the last part of the month of August, Venus and Leo would be squaring the nodes and Uranus. So she's going to bring a new chapter in the story of the eclipses. And she'll try to, obviously she's a Venus and Leo. She's going to do it with
drama.
Drama with something that she has put her heart on, I think. So something dear. It's going to be heartfelt. She's still Venus. She's going to harmonize and mend things, but she's going to do it with
fireworks,
dignity, with nobility as well.
At the bending. So Venus is the way forward. Yeah, it really puts a focus on the planet at that apex, Venusian, relational and values.
Yeah, it's how we bring together things and people. Venus is the cohesive force of the universe. And we're going to have a cohesive force that is going to be hot and dry and relentless.
I find, you know, there's a little NLP technique that I thought was really interesting. I learned, you know, when you have two conflicting things in your life or within your chart, you can use it on squares and things like that or oppositions. You just look at what each side wants and then how each side is trying to get there. And often your higher goal, you want the same thing. You're just going about it differently. And I think it's a really good way to approach conflict resolution as well. So really looking at, well, what do you both want? And I'm thinking that with Venus is about shared or common values and that's the way forward. Because when you boil it down in the end, pretty much everyone wants the same thing, even if you take it basic to be happy, to be not have suffering, to have love or beauty or resources. Really boil it down to those places where you meet and think about, well, what would Venus do to mediate here?
Yeah, and even doing it with a straight backbone.
Yeah, well, Leo, you know, it's very, it's proud. It's got the leadership vibe. It's very strong. It's very yang.
It's also in coherence with what I think and feel it is correct for me. Venus and Leo is not going to bend against her principles.
Absolutely not. Let's go through this. Actually, there's quite a lot of trines this month, not many squares. I think one square, a few oppositions, a few sextiles. So I think that's interesting with that, you know, background of Uranus and Saturn, of course, just headlining it up there. Lots of easy flows and places to lean into and to get some traction and take a break. There, one square is that Venus square Uranus on the 27th. That's it. So be ready for anything. Square
there is
Uranus,
something
bit of a shock.
Worth noticing, on the 19th of September, there is Mercury in Libra retrograde opposing Jupiter in Aries retrograde, a mutual application. So they're going towards each other, running towards each other, but it's not received. This is an aspect that has been forming since the full moon story. So we're going to see something that was all about the headlines or the headlines of our lives. And it's going to come to a point of, okay, you can't avoid it anymore.
Good point. Yeah, two retrograde planets opposing each other. That's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah. And it's not received. So it's mutually, they're going towards each other, but it's not received. So it is, okay, they're meeting, but you know, they can't help each other much. And it's in revision mode, both of them retrograde. So we're going to see this thing somewhere again in another way.
I like the idea of big ideas with Jupiter and Mercury. Big ideas, big leap of vision, but don't expect it. Don't expect not to go back.
I think Jupiter in Aries, I've called him the patron of self-determination. So this is a question of how much we're going in self-determination and how much then it's going to be, okay, how we are going to smooth out the process without being going all bulldozering people around.
Because there's Libra involved, you do have to think of not just
and it's the third justice. It's even the third justice to give things the third justice.
Yeah,
it's not only lip speaking; it's giving third justice to things. Yeah, but it's sometimes even giving a third justice to things brings peace.
That's a good.
Sometimes
point.
People keep on going back to the same event because, according to them, a third justice hasn't been given.
That's a good point. So attend to the Mercury in Libra to get the most out of that Jupiter in Aries.
Yes. It's in a Mars sign and becomes on steroids.
Absolutely. So that's a really nice way of looking at it to, yeah, you save time in the end if you can make sure that everything's right. It's true. You can't let go of something if it's not sitting right. And Jupiter in Aries, I mean, Aries wants to, it's got to be free. It's got to be a clean slate, baggage free. Doesn't want to have to come back to baggage. So yeah, just make sure you're being fair and assess and maybe communicate. You might have to come back to it because they are retrograde, but at least you do your best before that and be ready to pick up the thread and re-sew it in if you need to.
Yeah.
To keep moving. We're up to our key takeaway and monthly mantra. So just a simple focus on practicality and precision and then let go and let goddess. Just really taking in the polarity because Pisces is about letting go and sometimes Virgo might not. So it's just getting that lean into the polarity and the benefits of both signs so that they work with each other and for mutual amplification. What's yours, Hillary?
Worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you moving, but gets you nowhere.
I love the sayings.
And perfection is not of this world. And you can't foresee or control every variable, but do know that luck exists.
Yes, good to remember for Virgo, is it? You can't control, because there's that element of control. We didn't really talk about that. Control with Virgo, trying to control things, which is also a superpower, but can be a heavy burden for the Virgo.
Yeah.
Well, Baz says keep 60%, be happy with that. Oh, my monthly mantra is I easily find, tweak, polish, and perfect with non-attachment to the outcome.
Wow. It takes time to unfold.
Mm-hmm. I think with the earth signs, it's really non-attachment is a good one. I guess for air, it could be non-attachment to ideas and opinions and points of view. With the earth signs, letting go of the outcome. Again, I think back to Baz's advice, basically do your best, choose your North Star, like how you're going to approach this, and you have to let it go. You have to let it go into the world and you'll never get to that vision. Also from Leo season, Patty Jenkins was saying the same thing.
I think that's the most difficult part of the Virgo season.
Absolutely. That's also the essential, which is a key word for Virgo, like the what is essential. And what isn't? So essential to the story, according to Baz. Yeah. And what's essential to your goal and what is essential? Don't trip up on the, we say Virgo can be like, it can't see the trees for the wood, not the wood for the trees. Too busy looking at the bark to see this whole forest.
True. But then a Virgo would say it depends on the essential. The essential can shift.
True. So what is your, do you have a monthly mantra?
I think I lumped them all together before. So I would go...
I think so.
Perfection
too.
Is not of this world.
It's an ideal, not an outcome.
And I like to remember what they used to say. My father used to sell carpets And one day he said, "Look, I'll show you something." He used to bring the carpets from Arabia, and he turned it the other way around. And he said, "You know, they always do a mistake somewhere because only God is perfect." And it's a reminder.
I've heard that. Isn't that brilliant? I love that. That's a really good takeaway. Yeah, leave room for the higher power to operate.
As you said, leave the goddess to the rest.
Absolutely. What are you going to share with us that is on your coffee table, Hillary? What book do you have
Oh
to rec?
dear.
Do you have a book rec?
I'm going to choose one that it's easy using for the astrology, and that is Medical Astrology for Health Practitioners, A Healer's Guide by Judith Hill. It's very easy to follow, even for astrologers, both beginners astrologers and health practitioners that would like to delve in a little bit in astrology.
I'm going to share one by Brian Clark. It's called Vocation, the Astrology of Career, Creativity, and Calling. I went on a big book buying frenzy when he was up here talking at our local chapter, and he had all his books. So I basically bought all of them, except the one I already have. He also has lots of workbooks that he's put together. Fantastic. I advise you read everything he's ever written. So, vocation, he talks about the term vocation epitomizes the quest to find your authentic voice in the world, the work you are meant to do, the work you love. It is greater than emotional security, financial remuneration, or worldly success. Your vocation is soulful, a deeply felt longing to be of service, to follow your passion, and to live a meaningful life. Vocation is more than a job, a career, or a pastime. It's the X factor that fulfills the urge to be creative and employed in purposeful ways. So, this is all sounding very Virgo to me,
Beautiful,
right?
beautiful.
And astrology is an ideal career counselor as it maps out the paths and patterns of your vocation. Using astrological symbols and images, vocation, the astrology of career, creativity, and calling, is your guide to participating in a more fulfilling career and lifestyle. And it's quite thick, it's really thorough, and it just goes through so many different things. So it's a fun read, but it's also very technical, super useful, highly recommended by Brian Clark. You can find that on his website at astrosynthesis.com or on, Amazon, wherever it's all online. What we've got coming up, I'm going to go over to Astrology University, astrologyuniversity.com, go to the events calendar and click on that. When you're there, you will see up until August 30th, there is bundle registration option for 2022, 2023 for the 4-year program. So there's lots of info about that. You'll see the instructors who are creme de la creme of astrology. Amazing. You've got Tony, of course, Kelly Surtees, Mark Jones, Saffron Rossi. You've got Jason Holley, Demetra George, Stephen Forrest, and the list goes on. The luminary list goes on. So go check that out if you're interested in deepening your practice and really deep diving astrology. August 17 to September 11. We have Intro to Astrological Symbols. That's with Tony Howard. So that is over 4 weeks. On August 17 through to September 11, we have the Major Aspects course, and that is with Kelly Surtees, Jason Holley, Mark Jones, and Tony Howard. August 17 to September 11, the Aspect Pattern course. That is with Karen Harmaker-Zontag and Tony Howard. So week one is T squares and grand crosses. Week two, the Yod. Week three, the grand trine and talent triangle. Week four, aspect patterns of Mark Edmund Jones, who has, we look at a bucket, bundle, seesaw, the shapes in the chart. So that's going from single aspect between two planets to you've got three or more drawing in parts of the chart, taking it next level. Then we've got August 17 to September 11, lunar phase and planetary phase relationships, which is with Demetra George, Mark Jones, and Tony Howard. That is four classes, the lunation phases with Demetra. Class two is lunation phases applied in chart readings with Demetra. Class three is planetary phase relationships part one with Mark Jones, and class four is planetary phase relationships part two with Tony Howard. Then there's actually an open house event, which I checked just at my 2 a.m. in the morning, but I would love to go to that. Join Tony Howard for a special open house session. And you'll be talking about the four-year program and the courses coming your way in the next few months. You can ask any questions you have about the program. And if time allows, we can talk about anything astrology related that you have questions about. Highly recommended. This will be a meeting session, so you'll be able to see each other and open up your mics if you choose to. It's a free event, but registration is required and it's limited to 100 participants. So please only register if you're sure you can attend. So that'll be at 9 a.m. Pacific time for about 90 minutes. September 19, so coming at the very end of Virgo season, to October 12 is Chart Interpretation 2 Aspects with Kelly Surtees. So go check out the events page. Lots of really great courses, and I'm loving seeing that they're going more in depth with these, jump in for 4 weeks on each one. So you could do just one or a few side by side as well. So Hillary, what do you have coming up?
You can find me on my website. That is www.aquafortisastrology.com. Aquafortis, A-C-Q-N-U-A. And with the same name as Aquafortis, you can find me on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Telegram, MeWe, and Gab. I post a daily, what my readers called Astro Espresso, because usually it is short, sweet, and pungent. That's what I'm up to. And for now, on internet, not much. I'm doing more locally. I'm still going on with the project of the magical herb clinic, magical clinic, where I go medical astrologer with, and I pair up with a herbalist, and it's on donation basis and locally, and are going to open somewhere else as well. So
when in Rome, go see Hillary in real life.
Yeah.
And what have I got coming up? Well, I have my book, The Countdown's On. It's 2 months away now. You can order Astro Power, Simple Guide to Prediction and Destiny, through Book Depository if you're in the US, and you'll get it early. So that's out November 10 in the UK. It's got free delivery. I've got one-to-one consultations/readings, and I've got that package, which is Follow the Sun and Live Your Best Life by Illuminating Your Personal Solar Cycle. As the sun tracks through its annual cycle, it lights up an area of your life represented by a house in your birth chart. You can work your way through each power zone while it's under the spotlight. So I've got a monthly check-in called Illuminate with Soul Cycle, and a seasonal power session, which is quarterly, and you just buy the annual package or the one-on-ones.
So obviously I do internet on online consultations. I'm available for
consultations. And you do a real focus on medical, also horary.
I do horary. I do traditional astrology, natal traditional. And then I specialize on medical astrology, yes. As a pure Virgo would do.
So go over to Hillary's website and check out what she has. She does really great delineations. So you can have one-to-one to go through your chart. And you get all the extras because she can look into your health and horary as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hillary, so much for coming and bringing the Virgo. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Have a wonderful season of Virgo. Tidy up, clear out. Don't worry. Be happy. And stay cosmic. Till next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.